Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Invader, again, because I think that's the second time this year I'm doing that.
The Invader.
I didn't really realize we were doing two Alien attack. Invasion movies so close together. Yeah. But, oh well. It's kind of funny, the next week we're doing another Tony Scott film, and we just did Tony Scott film, so it's just the way it works sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But no yawning, Long. No yawning.
I'm sorry. Tomorrow's day six of my work.
Damn.
If I wasn't talking to you ugly fucks right now, I'd probably be going to bed. I'm tired. So.
Going to bed or jacking off?
One of the two, or jacking off and going to bed, you know,
in that order. Yeah, popping Excedrin and seeing if you can get one off before you knock out and go to bed.
Wearing a plastic bag.
Like David Carradine. Matt, when you get in your 40s, it's hard enough sometimes to pop one off as it is, so you don't want a further challenge, okay? Oh. All right, then. It's a good start to a Friday night.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say. Somebody say something.
Go ahead, Matt. Do your tribute before Mark cuts it.
Nobody gives. It's local news. Nobody cares.
Really? I'm about to talk about someone who died of cancer.
Hey, apparently I made a Schindler's List joke of the show, so, you know, all bets are fucking off. And I don't even remember making that joke. You know?
Yeah.
It's an inside joke me and Matt was sharing.
Yeah, we just made it up. We actually colluded outside of the show, and we're like, hey, let's think about like weird comedy stuff that would be effed up if Mark laughed at.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, Schindler's List.
No, but apparently someone who listens to the show said I made some off-kilter comment as well. So I must have said something.
I remember that from a couple years ago.
And y'all turned it into a joke.
Yeah. You know what Orson Welles said, if you tell a lie enough, the lie becomes truth. So we told that lie enough, and it became truth, Mark.
Well,
now people
we've been saying you're fucking gay for 10 years, so.
Nope.
Let's ask your wife about that.
Nope.
Mark the homophobe. All right.
No. Fucking Christ.
No, he's
no,
not.
Fuck you and fuck you.
No, he's
fuck
not.
You.
What was it? No, the inside joke started when it's like every time we bring up a comedy, you always shit on the comedy. You know, even the classic comedies. So me and Matt were like, hey, why don't we act like we bring a really heavy, dark movie on? And then we'll pretend that Mark loved it as a comedy.
Yep.
That's the origin from last year to a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, how about Schindler's List? Huh? Haven't seen Mark laugh that hard in a while, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but you bring up Step Brothers, he just thinks it's the worst thing in the world. But when you bring up Schindler's List, he's laughing
true.
His ass
I like
off.
Step Brothers. Well, we're doing a comedy in a few weeks. So
yeah, classic.
Oh, we're just busting your balls, man.
Oh yeah, someone's got to bust them, you know.
Spider already fucking tried.
Go ahead, Matt. Do your tribute.
No, I just wanted to give a shout out to, you know, Dinah. You know, Powers. She lost her battle with cancer yesterday. Most Houstonians know her as the host, a former co-host of the 94.5 The Buzz radio show, who are also involved in BuzzFest and various other things around just the Houston community. But she was a longtime co-host and She lost her battle to cancer, and it was pretty sad to hear. But it was also inspiring to hear that, you know, she has probably the best brother in the world. He quit his job to take care of her, and you know, it's like, man, you know, I hope everyone's brother is like that, you know, if they ever find themselves in that situation. But rest in peace. She was a great person, and I got to meet her and take a picture with her, you know, a few years back. And I know that, you know, she's going to be missed, at least in the Houston community and locally.
And there are two listeners in Australia just go, who are you talking about? I'm sorry. I just.
Rest in peace, Dinah Powers.
I got to
Mark, sure. You cold bastard. Someone lost their battle to cancer. Anyways.
You know what? 2020 has been a fucking shithole. So if you can't have a sense of humor about it, well, you know.
Well, rest in peace, Dinah Powers. It'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And,
other than this week,
send our thoughts and prayers to her family.
Yeah.
And close ones. Yeah. So this is the episode before, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm staying home for Thanksgiving. I want my parents to stay safe, and they're only having one or two visitors to their home. And I said, okay, cool. Have at it. Stay safe. I could skip a year. Told my sister, hey, stay safe. Do your own thing. And I'm just going to eat on chicken wings on Thanksgiving because I love chicken wings.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're not going to get some Jack in the Box?
No, I'm not going to bother any fast food joints on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Or get a couple of steaks. I don't know.
Ooh.
We'll see.
That sounds good.
That's my plan. And I'll probably watch some random movies or whatever on Thanksgiving. You know, I watched John Wayne's Stagecoach on one Thanksgiving a few years back at Rio Bravo.
Yeah.
At a John Wayne day.
Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving kind of feels like a Western
movie day,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I hope someone exercises their personal safety. And, you know, it's just one day out of the year. Now, I can't speak for what people are going to do for Black Friday. I don't know how, you know, the pandemic will affect that. I have a very low faith in humanity right now. So I think Black Friday might bring people out.
Probably.
Yeah. But anyways. But yeah. But that's my plans for Thanksgiving. So how about you guys? Well, I know about you, Matt. And your super spreader event, Matt, that you'll be going to.
Matt's going to a COVID party, apparently.
COVID
party. It's going to be outdoors.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, CDC guidelines say you only have to wear masks if you're indoors and 6 feet apart is not possible. Nothing about
it. And that's why all these protests and all those people are getting COVID. Yeah, because outdoors prevents it. Sure. If you really believe that.
No. And fabric doesn't stop parts.
Me and Long aren't going to agree with you on this. This 1 year, you could skip it and not go to that big party with 40 people in your family. That's just asking for trouble. People.
It's like
you 15. Said. You told me along it was like 30, 35 people.
It's 15. It may have been.
Isn't
30
the person hosting the party a bit cautious about it too?
Well, one of my cousins. She's coming. She's pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah, and so she was the one that kind of wanted to. She wanted to have a Zoom Thanksgiving, where we just all eat in front, like, you know, mukbang. You know, or something. We're just eating.
Yeah,
front of the
just
camera.
Yeah. At least
that's
at
silly.
Least.
Might as well just, you know.
Well, no, I mean, it's like Zoom. I mean, it's safe. So, but yeah, Matt, just send her a text and say, hey, we won't judge you if you stay home. You know, no big deal.
Yeah, and
you're pregnant. So,
and we didn't, you know, really slam her for that, you know, or anything. Her brother was the one that kind of said something to her because she said. She didn't want to go, but then she went to a bar with some friends. It was kind of like, you know, that's what caused everyone to kind of like flip And it's not really not anyone. It's my cousin's family.
Wait a minute. And she's going to a bar and she's pregnant?
It was, I guess she wasn't drinking, but, you know, she went to some Harry Potter bar. So they probably have, like, Hufflepuff shakes or something.
You heard of that song from the 90s by CNC Music Factory that's called Things That Make You Go Hmm?
Yep. Things That Make You Go Hmm? Things That Make You Go
Hmm? Only Long would fucking bring that song up.
Things That Make You Go Hmm? Mm. So she goes to a bar after saying that she's scared of the COVID, and then she's pregnant. Okay.
You said COVID got her pregnant?
No, I didn't say that. I said that she's cautious about COVID, and then she goes to a bar.
Yeah.
Despite that. And then, I mean, even if she's not drinking, there's going to be people smoking, and she's pregnant.
Sounds like, be crazy, man.
Yeah. Sounds like the beginning of a joke. A pregnant woman walks into a bar, you know? It's like, I don't know. But
things to make you go.
Yeah.
On that note, let's get into Download This.
Download This.
Where we tell people what we have watched, streamed, played this week.
I'll go first, goddammit.
Do it.
Let's see. I'll start off with something a little boring. I actually watched...
You can't get more boring than Opera, dude.
It's not boring. But anyways, there's a... I'll get you, Mark. No, actually, no. No, I deserve that because I've been dogging you all episode already, so...
I'm just saying, you can't get more boring than Opera.
Touche. I'll give you that. Touche. Okay.
And don't let Matt fool you over there. Matt likes to tug your fucking dog and make it sound like he's interested in Opera, but Matt knows fucking Opera's boring, too.
And he's a good damn tugger, too, so don't be jealous.
Oh, man. Hey, y'all didn't have a lunch date together this week.
You damn right. Don't be jealous about that either.
Hey, I'm not.
You know, we're going to be eating some sausage, some meat bag.
Whatever makes you fellas happy.
We're going to have a gastronomic, protein-eccentric lunch tomorrow.
What did you watch?
Okay, so last week I forgot to mention... because I couldn't remember what I watched. It was the Founder about McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was commenting about that a couple weeks ago. But I think it was not trying to be sympathetic towards Ray Kroc for stealing a company from the two founders. It's just a as is. That's the history of McDonald's.
So that movie isn't about a Bruce Wayne origin story?
No. Nope.
Okay. Nope. Darn.
Yeah, he didn't turn into Batman. Nor did his parents.
He turned into Birdman.
Yeah, it was a good, well-made movie. And, but it was interesting. Second somewhat boring movie, but I liked it. It was called, this is an old HBO movie directed by John Frankenheimer called Path to War. It's basically about Lyndon Johnson, President Johnson. And all of the decision making about going into war with Vietnam, and he had like all these fantastic domestic policies, and it's all undermined because of his being mired in Vietnam. Man, it was a 3-hour movie too, but it was well acted. Michael Gambon was LBJ. Alec Baldwin was Bob McNamara. Fun stuff, guys.
Alec Baldwin. Nice.
Next, I actually saw this just before we started recording, finished watching it, Jojo Rabbit, that came out last year. And it's a very well-made movie. I liked it better than The Hunt for the Wilder People by Taika Waititi. And, man, this movie, it had some humor. It actually... made you feel very, very sad in a couple of moments there. And, man, Sam Rockwell, God, he's definitely one of my favorite actors.
He's good.
And, yeah, and he's... If you're a fan of his work, he isn't in this movie very much, but the scenes that he's in in this movie are rock solid, the few minutes that you see him in. So, I highly recommend Jojo Rabbit if you haven't seen it. But yeah, it's about a kid who is in the Hitler Youth in Germany, and he has an imaginary friend, Adolf Hitler, and it's kind of limp. Makes a comical portrayal of Hitler, but also dealing with like all of the issues that he's dealing with as a 10-year-old living under a fascist state. So
I've thought about watching it, but I have to be in the mood for a Waititi movie.
Yeah, it's not a very long movie either. It's under 2 hours, like a minute and 40 minutes, so an hour and 40 minutes, so not very long at all. But I highly recommend it. I definitely give it like a B+, A-. Huh. It definitely deserved its nomination. And then I also played more Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Just raiding and pillaging poor English folk. So, as a Viking. So, yeah, that's my download disc for this week. Next.
I didn't do as much. Just getting the holiday, getting into the holidays and things get busier. But I did watch, you mentioned Moonraker last mm-hmm. week. And, with NASA launching, into space, why not watch Moonraker? And so I watched it and I liked it. I enjoyed Moonraker. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. I wanted to watch The Man with the Golden Gun, but I didn't get a chance to. Instead, I watched Con Air because my sister-in-law came over and she wanted to watch a movie. And I was like, she hadn't seen a whole lot of movies. So, you mentioned like Terminator 2, and she's like, what? What's that? And I'm like, what? You live under a rock? So, put on Con Air, and she liked it.
Long's never seen Gladiator, so he can't talk much.
Okay, fair enough. Everyone's got their own.
Well, I'm sure there's movies that you haven't caught under your radar that was considered popular, right, Mark? I'm sure there's a movie out there that was considered popular. You haven't seen it yet, right?
I don't really think about it.
Dances with Wolves, maybe.
I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, he loves Costner.
Anyway, go on, Matt, while Long thinks about it.
And I did play a video game. So Destiny came out with their new patch, which is Beyond Light, and this whole new storyline. And I started playing it, and I've kind of gotten into it again. My son really pushed me to play because he likes watching me play, and we just both started our campaigns on Beyond
Light. What, you get your ass kicked? No.
he is crazy good at like fight games. Like, he just somehow picks up the controls, and then he'll get you into a corner and just keep repeating moves. But yeah, he will kick my butt in some fighting games. But this one's it's a first-person shooter. You don't PvP unless it's online against someone else. But I've been having fun with that. That's really about it.
The back of what you're saying, like, maybe some of the recent, like, I usually try to watch, like, the Best Picture winners. But, like, the last couple of years, I haven't seen Green Room yet. I haven't seen Parasite. I haven't seen Moonlight. So I haven't seen some of the recent Best Picture winners.
Okay.
But it's hard to find popular movies I haven't seen. Yeah. Unless you're like maybe chick flick popular. I haven't seen some of those. But
Notting Hill has a soft spot.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that.
But, there you go. Notting Hill. You better get in.
That's not. That's way out of my genre, though. I watched, I didn't watch much. After doing Casino Royale last week, I did watch Quantum of Solace. I just felt like watching the conclusion or the continuation. I don't think Quantum's that bad. I think it could be better, but it's not terrible. And what's funny is, a quick note on it, I was reading about like Dominic or the guy who plays Dominic Green. He felt that the villain should be bigger, more over the top, like Bond villains generally are. And the director, Mark Forster, was like, no, we're not doing that this time. So maybe that was the problem. Maybe Forster should have listened to the actor and made Dominic Green a more interesting villain. So who knows? I watched the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special on Disney Plus. That's actually pretty funny.
Oh, nice.
Oh, is it already out?
Yeah, it came out Wednesday, I believe. And I still can't talk for some reason.
I know why.
I'm probably going to have to go to the fucking doctor, man, for my throat. I don't know.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's like freaking a month and a half.
Or they'll just tell me it's COVID or some shit. But
stop sucking the D.
Yep.
But I am. That was you too. Y'all's little lunch date the other day. Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk to Mandalorian. Episode, was it the fourth episode? Yeah.
Yeah.
Of season. I told you long we weren't going to get Ahsoka. They're going to make you wait. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a fucking cock tease. They're going to tease you all fucking season and make you wait. But
yeah,
it was still a really good episode. Directed by Carl Weathers himself, Apollo Creed.
Wow.
And yeah, I think he did a great job. Lots of action, lots of cool Star Wars stuff in this episode. You got fucking speeder bikes and biker scouts and raiding Imperial Base and blowing it up. Lots of cool aliens. It was a real Star Wars episode. Some really hilarious moments with the child. And it felt it felt like another filler episode until the last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, yeah.
What do you guys think?
I agree.
It's not sinking in with me, so I'd like to hear what you guys are excited about. So
I like that he, you know, he had to get his ship repaired, so he's drawn back and gets his ship repaired. You know, although there's a twist.
Who's he?
The Mandalorian.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it, the last 5 minutes I was interesting, but it hasn't sunk in with me personally why it's a big deal. That's what I meant. So.
Well, the whole cloning facility, now you know why they wanted the child so bad.
Well, we're assuming it's a cloning facility.
Yeah. Mm. It has to be, because it's a lab, and you see people floating in tanks, and they're talking about harvesting this DNA. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be. But, you know, and then the big turnaround on the end that, you know, hey, now you're going to get tracked by the Moff. So
it looks like he's working on some sort of super soldier stormtroopers or something.
At first I thought it was a Darth Vader suit. I wonder if they were trying to clone this, clone the child so that they could create a bunch of force sensitive Sith or, you know, Dark Jedi or something, you know, and just have a bunch of force users on their side. That was what I thought. But it was really, really cool. The aerial fights with the Razor Crest. Some really cool stuff there, and throwing up blue milk, you know, mm-hmm. That was funny. And Baby Yoda, like, you know,
yeah,
just, you know, I feel like, you know, they should, maybe they brainstorm and they're like, let's find something cute for to have the child do, and then you have Carl Weathers talking to him like he's a baby. Is he taking care of you? I think it just, like you said, Mark, it had everything in it. It did feel like a filler at first, but like you said, you know, we got some solid content at the end to really push the storyline and kind of see where this is going. You got cool chase scenes and stuff.
And that's the thing. Like, it may have not sunk in with you yet long why it's a big deal, but it just opened up the storyline a whole lot more, you know, with the possibility of clones and whatever Moff Gideon's up to. So I think that's why it was a big deal, because it opened up a lot of possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some very interesting character developments, and that's why it didn't feel like a filler either, you know. Yeah. There were some hints dropped about from a New Republic pilot talking to
Cara
Dune about maybe considering joining, you know, the good old fight again.
Why was she smiling the entire episode? Did y'all notice that? It was distracting. Like, yeah, Cara Dune, she's like smiling the entire episode. It's kind of weird. Oh. Maybe she's all cracked up.
I didn't think it was distracting because I was just mesmerized by her charms.
Yes.
Oh,
so, she doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, but that's fine. It's okay. Different strokes for different folks.
She was smiling like,
more for us.
It was awkward. She was like smiling. Hey, man, you want girls that can kick your ass? Be my guest.
I mean, muscles. Oh, dominate me, please.
Yes.
I don't mind taking the submissive role to Gina Carano.
She gonna do what the bad girl does and GoldenEye to you. Just squeeze you with her thighs where you're like,
ah! No, I don't want to go that far. I'm not a masochist. Anyways, moving forward.
No.
A family show.
Is it? But is it really?
Is it really
all the F-bombs we dropped already, a family show?
Fuck it.
There we go again.
So we're halfway through the season. Very good so far, though, man. This show is just... If Kathleen Kennedy, for fuck's sake, man, let Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau do all the Star Wars, because they're amazing. You know? Just let them do it. Put them in charge of the universe. Let them fucking do it. You know? They're just so great. I would love to see Filoni have a live-action film. You know, and just see what he can do with it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But next week we will discuss episode 5. Same Mandalorian time, same Mandalorian channel. So this week's feature film is an all-time classic, one of the great special effects films of its time. A movie that rewatching it this week amazingly holds up extremely well. Yeah. Still a great film. And that is the 1950s
movie too.
Huh? Yeah, brisk. Very brisk. But does it feel rushed? That's the 1953 classic H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. Summarize.
I'll summarize. Meteor crash lands near a small town. And it becomes an alien. And it's eventually joined up by other tripod-ish aliens that start vaporizing the world over. And humanity is throwing everything and anything it can to defeat these aliens. All manners of weapons, conventional, nuclear. Nothing's working. And then, lo and behold, once humanity was at the brink of destruction, the alien ships start falling from the skies. And then to find out that they were defeated by germs, our very own germs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great science fiction twists of all time. Yes. But that's my summary.
That's a good summary. Matt, you had never seen this before, right? Until this week?
Yeah, I hadn't. And there's some really cool things about this film.
It's always interesting. Yeah, it's always interesting to hear from, like, I think 1970s movies, if you've never seen them, you can kind of still appreciate them because they're still kind of modern. But you get these older movies, and some people aren't open to these. You know, they look at them in a weird way. But I think, obviously, we appreciate film enough that somebody like you can see this for what it is. And you're talking about how brisk it is long. Man, this movie's actually pretty action-packed for 1950s. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do with the direction. The editing is fantastic. And just telling a good story without bogging it down. But, Matt, your first impression of seeing this classic?
Man, it looks good. The graphics, I felt, were still good to me. I mean, even though you see a little bit of wire, you know, but it's like that was you know, that was at the height, the pinnacle of you know, special effects at that time. And, you know, I really didn't pay too much attention to it, but you had a lot of different storylines going on, but the main one being the doctor. And then you still had people going crazy, you know, just how they depict how it would go is how I think it would go. You have these people that made things worse by getting in the way of scientists and destroying all those instruments so that they could just grab a vehicle. And then you've got the romance aspect of it. You know, and I enjoyed it. I felt like there wasn't really a slow part to the film. There's always something going on, and you know, they did a really good job for what they had at that time, you know, getting creative and how they made the sounds and the effects, you know, effects were really cool. I liked it.
What did you think of the design of the spaceships?
They were kind of weird. You know, I guess they went with like, the person who designed them wanted them to be a mix of a manta ray, a cobra, and a swan for some reason. He's like, it's like, you know, you had me with the first two, manta ray, cobra, and a goose, you know, but a swan.
Did you like the design? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. I like the whole like opposable neck. That's just like, you know, you think it's going to be friendly and they're like, oh, white flag. And you have like that campy moment. Come over here.
Blasted, you know.
Blasted and just disintegrated. All that's left is like ash.
Yeah. And the preacher.
Oh, yeah.
The preacher going out to hold out the olive branch, but he still gets blasted, which starts the war.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I saw Joel Osteen do this. I'm gonna go out there. I'm gonna read him.
It wasn't Joel Osteen.
I'm gonna read you the Word of God. You're gonna you're gonna back off. But nope, they didn't understand the Word of God. They wanted to terraform your planet. That's it.
Yeah.
Because you know, one was too hot and one was too cold, and Earth was just right.
Yeah.
I like in the beginning, you just have this. You know, the illustrator just going, you know, going through the person
all the
that
illustrated planets in the solar system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The person that drew those was like apparently some world renowned planetary artist that would draw planets for like science magazines and science books. So they brought the best of the best out to paint and illustrate these planets. But it looks great, you know.
Yeah,
it looks beautiful.
It does.
Well, think about this.
Yeah,
go ahead, Long.
Yeah, Criterion did the transfer of the of the video, so they are selling the 4K digital transfers and copies of it on Amazon. But I like it cheap, $5 digital version.
And it still looks really good.
That's the transfer.
What's amazing is. Think about this. This is in 1953. This movie had a $2 million budget. 1.4 of that was spent on special effects. And it shows, because I think the ships look really cool. This is one of the early sci-fi films I remember watching with my dad. And I remember the ships always kind of frightened me, because as a kid, this could kind of be a scary movie, you know, in our time. You know, now the kids see everything, but back then, this is pretty frightening. You know, have aliens invading the Earth and everything blowing up. And I think the ships look really great, and they hold up really well. And the scene in the house where the thing comes in there looking for them, you know, the neck, that's really, I mean, for 1953, it looks fucking amazing. You know.
Yeah.
And I was like really impressed. Of course, we have a scene similar to that in the Tom Cruise version. Where the net comes in there looking for him. I think that's the thing I noticed most about rewatching this was like, these are the effects on this film are quite amazing.
Yeah, I was impressed by the creature design. He had pulsating veins and stuff too.
Yeah.
They went that far, giving him a sleek kind of a, you know, skin and his pulsating veins and you know, because most movies at that time, they would just have a cheap costume.
Right. Made. Yeah, they didn't have much respect for sci-fi films. In fact, this was a lot of money for a sci-fi film at that point. In fact, whenever Barry Lyndon brought the script to the studio, the person that he talked to initially just was trying to, you know, mess with him, just threw the script in the trash and said, "This is where this belongs." And he apparently reportedly reached across the table and started strangling him because just, you know, this is, you know, how ridiculous he felt he was. But your first, you know, this was in the era where, you know, at first space was supposed to be this mystery and this wonderful, whimsical place with unlimited opportunities. And then we get the thing from another world. And then this movie comes out and we're, you know, taught that space can be scary and there are things out there that we should be afraid of. And so I think this is what started kind of that, just that imagination and stuff that, you know, maybe led to us getting aliens and other cool stuff, you know, in sci-fi films.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the spaceship designs where they didn't go with a typical spinning dish.
And the studio wanted that at first. But George Powell and the special effects guy believed that they could do something better. Yeah.
Yeah. Very otherworldly looking, for sure. Did any of your kids watch with you guys?
No.
Wyatt was kind of in here. But
I don't know
how much he was paying attention. Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious if your kids what they thought of it. So
yeah, I would imagine Michael would like it. You know, he'll usually watch this kind of stuff, but lately he's still stuck on his PlayStation all the time. But no, I think this movie, like you were saying, Matt, I think this movie was responsible for a lot of other movies getting made, because this was a pretty successful film at the box office. I think it led to movies like Forbidden Planet and those getting made, because it showed there was a market for sci-fi. It wasn't just Westerns and romantic films in 1953.
Yep. Absolutely.
What's your score, guys?
I'd say, given the context of the time, it's an A. I think just because of what it, you know, inspired, what it led to, what it did for sci-fi, and then just, you know, it won an Academy Award for special effects. Yeah. And, you know, that says something. And I think every character in here is a lot of, most characters are pretty memorable. You even had Roddenberry and the lady who played the female lead. I can't remember the name of her right now, but both of them made cameos in the War of the Worlds remake, which probably goes more by the books. This one didn't go by the book as much, but, you know, not a huge deal. You know, it happens a lot.
Won't remember this, but Mark, do you remember the direct sequel series in 1988, War of the Worlds?
Yeah. On television,
Fox.
Yeah.
I think it was Fox. Yeah, they did an actual direct sequel to the movie in 1988. Same exact design of the aliens. Yep. And
it was actually pretty good, too.
Yep. Yeah. Until they killed off the military guy. That's when I lost interest in the show. It was like, man, why did they kill off the colonel, man? He was like my favorite character in the whole show. So I stopped watching after that. And then they switched. Some new alien race came in and took over, and I was like, man, I don't like these aliens anymore. You know, so yeah, it ran for 3 seasons, and they just did so many things in this second season that pissed me off. I was like, fuck this show.
Yeah. I heard the miniseries that was on Epix last year is pretty good too. But yeah, I mean, I give it an A also. I mean, the movie's so influential to science fiction, even today, to the point that, I mean, it got a remake by Steven Spielberg, and if Spielberg's willing to remake a film like this, that tells you something. And I like Spielberg's version too. I actually think the Tom Cruise version is pretty good, with crazy ass Tim Robbins in it. But yeah. This is also one of the first movies where the actors had to act against, like you have actors nowadays that act against green screen, but these actors had to act against nothing and pretend like the ships were there. Mm-hmm. And some of the actors found it very hard to do because there weren't a lot of films like that at the time. You know, now it's pretty common for an actor or actress to act against nothing, you know. But yeah, definitely an A for sure.
Yeah, I'd give it an A. I first saw this movie when I was a kid, like 4 or 5 years old.
Yep.
On Saturday morning TV.
I always remember the end. I always remember the end where the hand is reaching out and then it just dies. You know.
Yeah.
It's a memorable scene.
I wish they would have had the part of the book that the remake had, you know, where they harvest humans for fuel.
Yeah. Well, there's some interesting War of the Worlds things that, like, of course, everyone knows about Orson Welles going on the radio on October 30th, 1938, I think it was.
Yeah.
And reading the War of the Worlds like a play with his actors. And it didn't quite cause the panic that people believe it did. But they do believe that some people in the New Jersey area got in their cars and kind of freaked out. There's also a musical version of the War of the Worlds done in the 70s, I believe, which is actually really good. And it has all the human harvesting stuff in it, if I remember right. And nice. You can find that online and listen to the whole thing. It's like a rock and roll War of the Worlds musical. And it's pretty cool. So this movie definitely, and this story, I should say the movie, but the story between the book, which brought the movie and other things, is definitely still with us today and been around for a long time. Alien Invasion movies are always going to be fascinating and interesting to people. You know, it's the great unknown. What else is out there?
So, for real.
So let's get into our weekly top five then, since I think that's all we got to say about War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
And our top five, since this is such a great special effects movie, we're going to talk our top five favorite special effects moments in films. So, Matt, you want to go first?
Yeah. And, man, this was a hard list to make, really, because it's like I felt like if you wanted to, you could make it all like Marvel stuff or something, you know, and chalk it up to that. But I went with stuff that I just remember from my childhood and stuff that I just think about whenever I see other things.
That's what I was hoping you would do. Stuff that influenced you. Yeah.
So number five, I've got Raiders of the Lost Ark. Whenever their faces are melting, when the ark is being uncovered and they're not supposed to look, and everyone's like just melting and just withering away. I always thought that was a cool scene. And sometimes whenever, you know, whenever people get, you know, get mad or something and start yelling and stuff, I just picture like, oh, it kind of reminds me of that scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark where they're just, everyone's screaming and their faces melting away.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a really good scene, and I totally agree. Nice mix of optical effects. Number five for me is King Kong. It was the first special effects movie that wowed audiences. It was a worldwide phenomenon. I still think it holds up today with the stop motion effects. And King Kong from 1939, I believe, was it?
Or
1930. Right. It looks like really,
39 sounds right.
Yeah, no, 1933. That's what it was. But yeah, King Kong is my number five.
Nice.
I have a couple of honorable mentions before I get to my number five. One of my honorable mentions was going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark, but also almost anything Ray Harryhausen has done, from his Sinbad movies to Clash of the Titans, always liked his special effects. And I don't have it on here, but the water amoeba or whatever it is in the abyss, I always thought that was pretty cool. But at number five, I have I was in high school when this came out, but it truly blew me away, and that was seeing dinosaurs come to life in Jurassic Park. I mean, even at 17 years old, that was like highly impressive to me at the time, because it was seeing CGI in a way that had not seen before. And I think Jurassic Park still holds up really well 20 years later.
Good one.
Number four, Matt.
I've got Who Framed Roger Rabbit as with Jessica Rabbit, and just seeing
just Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, just Jessica Rabbit.
Excuse me.
Hey, disgusting. Don't hit her, Mark. She was drawn that way. I was always entertained by that as a kid. Maybe I just was just like, wow, that's an interesting drawing right there, incorporated just, in it with humans.
Just admit it, dude. Jessica Rabbit gave you your first boner.
Maybe. Then that's whenever I discovered hentai. Yep.
All right, long you're number four.
Number four. Speaking of hentai, I got Godzilla from the land of Japan. And this is its own unique special effects where it's unique to Japan, really, and hardly ever practiced at all in any other country at that time in 1954. Toho Studios wanted to do stop motion on Godzilla, but they found out it's too expensive. They went down the King Kong route, and so they decided create a miniature city and then, you know, film it at a certain angles. And yeah, Godzilla number four, just taking advantage of camera tricks and practical makeup and all that good stuff.
Nice.
But that's my number four.
My number four is a movie that is actually more modern than Jurassic Park, but that's The Matrix. I mean, you know, as much as like sometimes I want to say, no, The Matrix is too modern, it's still influencing movies now. The wire work, the bullet time, the effect The Matrix has had on films is right up there with Star Wars. You can argue that because The Matrix changed the way action scenes were filmed. And we're still seeing it in the film. You mentioned Marvel films, man. Marvel films were affected because of The Matrix, the way some of those things are shot. Just a hugely influential special effects game changer in The Matrix.
Yep.
Number three.
I have the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. I just remember seeing that as a kid, and it was, you know, like Mark said, the first time we ever saw dinosaurs on TV, and just the goat in its mouth, and you know, it attacking the car with the kids inside and then running after the Jeep. Just an awesome scene. Everyone remembers it. It's some parts of it are spoofed. You know, the water rippling is, you know, something that, you know, is kind of thrown into other films, like spoof films too. Like Austin Powers, they spoof some stuff with the water cup rippling and stuff. So T-Rex, Jurassic Park, the animatronics.
Nice. Good mix, man. My number three is Terminator 2, Judgment Day. It's the first CGI movie to me that wowed me. And I know The Abyss came out, and I was like, ooh, water effect. Didn't really blow my mind, but when I saw it put to good use in Terminator 2, I was just blown away by the action and the story that supplemented it. But yeah, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, one of my top.
I three. I have that at number three as well. You know, a movie that again, like The Matrix, is a game changer for CGI effects and bringing CGI characters to life. You'll never forget the first time you see the T-1000 just do what he does, you know. Just a classic film.
Yep. And
number two.
It's going to sound like an echo in here, but I have T-1000 from Terminator 2 as my number two. Just him going through the bars, him mimicking the floor, and then mimicking people, and just, you know, his arms turning into knives. Just friggin' awesome, man. And just a great use of CGI.
Nice. We are at number two now. Mm-hmm. So, number two. It's my turn then?
Your turn.
That was Matt's.
Okay.
Matt's number two was Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that confused me a bit. My number two is in the practical effects arena. And basically, I watched this recently, but I've known about the movie for a while. Just finally sat down and watched the whole thing. It's The Thing from 1980, starring Kurt Russell. And yeah, this movie has it all. Stop motion, practical effects, blood effects,
yeah,
camera tricks, optical effects, matte paintings, all that stuff. But this movie is basically the Mount Everest of all practical effects movies, in my opinion. And I'm putting it down as The Thing.
Nice.
That's my number two.
Cool. My number two is the original Planet of the Apes. I know it's considered more makeup effects, but still a special effect. The first time you see the apes come on screen, you know, it's incredible. Again, another movie that highly influential as far as makeup effects go over the years. Still holds up well. Yeah, maybe it looks a little dated, but the movie itself is still an important film and still to this day, super one of the best.
Nice.
Number one, Matt. Drum roll.
I went with, I think Mark picked this one for number four. But I went with The Matrix just for the bullet time and just how influential that has been just going forward. And just everything, you know, like Mark said, that it was done with that film. Guns, lots of guns, and then just these aisles and aisles of guns just streaming in front of Keanu Reeves. And the slow motion, that's highly used today all the time. That started a big chain 20 years ago.
Nice. My number one is Jurassic Park. I was so blown away by the special effects and the CGI and practical effects of this movie. As a kid, I think I saw this movie twice in the theaters, two or three times. But that's my number one, Jurassic Park.
I'm disappointed in y'all.
Hmm.
I'm the only one that has Star Wars in the list.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, without Star Wars, none of the movies we talked about even exist. Except, yeah, well,
but I like dinosaurs more.
Planet of the Apes came out before Star Wars, but that's beside the point. Yes, but without Star Wars, Jurassic Park doesn't exist.
I know. I like dinosaurs more.
Nobody likes nobody likes dinosaurs, but more than Jedi. No, because
right, but I like dinosaurs more. I don't care what other people think.
Dinosaurs might not even look like the way they look in movies, you know? So, we don't know. I'm just saying. But Star Wars is my number one pick because, I mean, again, like I said, if you don't have the effects created in Star Wars, you don't have a lot of the movies we have today at all. Yeah, there's the old saying that maybe someone else would have came along and created them. We don't fucking know that. All we know is we got Star Wars, the greatest space saga of all time. Yes, I said that. Fuck you, Star Trek fans. Star Wars is the best. And you guys suck for not even... I didn't even care if y'all didn't have a number one. I can't believe y'all didn't have Star Wars in y'all's list at all. It's like, man, I thought I knew you guys better. Y'all want me to go to Austin and hang out with y'all? I'm disappointed. That's all I'm going to say.
We didn't want to take away your thunder.
Yeah, man.
We were being selfless.
Bullshit. Mark,
selfless.
And you
could just look the best.
And you're berating us for giving you a spotlight.
Why y'all competing, dogs?
we gave you number one with our hat in our hand.
Yes.
We gave you the last spot to showcase Star Wars, and then you flung it out of our hands.
Yes.
And
y'all
berated us.
Y'all deserve
it. Like the mad king that you are.
Y'all deserve it after jumping my shit earlier in the show. Well, let's do some news. There's not much. There's going to be another Predator movie directed.
Oh, Ridley goes unpunished.
Directed by Dan, whatever the fuck his name is, who directed 10 Cloverfield Lane. I'm all for another Predator movie, but goddamn, can we make a good one? Because that Predator movie that came out last year sucked. Did y'all ever watch it?
I never watched it.
I heard the first half
was good.
It's an hour and a half of movie. You can't get back. It sucked. So we'll get our Predator movie. The Last of Us, HBO has went ahead and given it a full series order for The Last of Us. So it looks like this is actually going to happen. We're actually going to get a television version of The Last of Us, which, as I said before, is the way to go because it's a long, complex story. And we don't want to stuff it into a two-hour movie. So HBO is going to bring The Last of Us to the small screen sometime in the next year or two. And Last of Us, not the game, the last bit of news is, this is a big news. Wonder Woman 1984 is going to come out in theaters on Christmas Day and on HBO Max for free. No extra charge. If you have HBO Max, you can spend your Christmas with the family and come home that night and watch Wonder Woman 1984. This is huge news, not just for fans because we get to see this, but this is a potential game changer. I think people don't realize because if that first week Wonder Woman gets thousands and thousands of streams, which it will, other studios are going to look at this. You know, there was rumors that MGM was shopping No Time to Die. That might just happen now. We might get James Bond on a streaming service since Wonder Woman's the first big, huge film to go ahead and make this decision. I do hope theaters never go away because it is an experience, but I'm also okay with watching movies at home. Pretty big news though, huh, guys?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Finally. I'm excited.
I know what I'm watching Christmas morning.
Yep. Same here.
Well, I mean, it'll probably be the evening one time you're on watch.
Now if we can get Godzilla versus Kong. That movie's finished a long time ago too, made by the same studio.
Pixar's Soul is going to be on Disney Plus on Christmas Day as well. So, I'm excited too. I'm at the point where this far into 2020, some of these movies I want to see, I just want to see them. Yeah, I don't care how, So, if I have to pay a few bucks or if I get them on a stream for free, that's fine with me. Yeah. So, I'm down with it. But, that's all the news I got. So, next week's film, it's a good film, starring Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman, directed by the late great Tony Scott. We're going to talk Crimson Tide.
You no doubt heard, my exo has appendicitis. Your name was at the top of the list.
That's good to know, sir.
It was a short list.
There's trouble in Russia. So they called us. And we're going over there and bringing the most lethal killing machine ever devised.
The last time we hit this state of emergency was 32 and a half years ago during the Cuban Missile Crisis. So this is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Submerge the ship.
Diving officer, submerge the ship. Make your depth 150 feet.
On the 1MC. Dive.
This year,
we have a properly formatted emergency action message from National Command Authority.
What we've always known.
Bravo, Echo, Charlie, Alpha.
Becomes what we've always feared.
Gentlemen, this is the captain. Russian rebels have threatened to launch against our country and are fueling right now. This is not a drill.
Now.
Sir, we have a possibly submerged submarine.
You find out who that is.
Receiving emergency action message. Recommend alert one.
The battle for survival begins.
That's a message fragment.
Sir, we don't know what this message means. Our target package could have changed.
I've made a decision.
There's no place for fear.
He's lost his nerve.
I'd rather go out myself and get this one wrong.
There's no room for mistakes.
If we launch and we're wrong, what's left of Russia is going to launch at us.
I'm captain of this boat. I don't have to think this over.
There's no time for doubt.
Missile systems ready to launch.
launch in 6 minutes.
You repeat this order or I'll find somebody who will.
Hell no, you won't, sir.
And nothing can stop the tide.
God, sonar torpedoes in the water!
Right forward!
1,000 yards of closing dive! Make your depth 1,200 feet! Hang on, everybody!
We cannot launch our missiles unless both you and I agree.
Fire! They're fueling our missiles!
He's right on top of us!
Space Commando! Captain! Under arrest on the charge of mutiny!
What's your name?
Lock Captain Ramsey's in his stateroom.
Fire one!
Now!
Give me the missile key, Mr. Hunter.
Sir, we are going down.
I'm the commander of this ship.
Crimson Tide. God help you if you're wrong.
If I'm wrong, then we're at war. God help us all.
Super exciting submarine thriller that if you've never seen, it is on Amazon Prime right now. We confirm that because I know sometimes we say it and it's not on there, but quite a piece of acting. This movie is well acted. It's exciting. You take the setting of a submarine and you build an intensity that has you literally on the edge of your seat. I saw it in theaters and I remember just seeing it in theaters thinking how good it was. So it's a good film. This should be fun to watch. You guys have seen it, of course, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't seen this in almost over 20 years, actually. And I used to own a copy of it on VHS, so same. It's definitely going to be fun to rewatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two of our great actors of our time in this film, and a great supporting cast, too. So, yeah, Crimson Tide next week on the show. That should be a good one. This was a good one, even if we're all messing with each other. War of the Worlds is a really great film. But as always, thank you guys for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Of course, the website is rebelradiopodcast.com, and join our Patreon if you like for $2 a month. We don't really know what November's movie is. Me and Matt have an idea, but we'll announce that in the coming days. And we're going to try to record it possibly Wednesday night before Thanksgiving if we're not too exhausted, tired from work the next few days. So we'll see. But until next week, have a safe, fun Thanksgiving if you celebrate that here in America. And if you're elsewhere in the world, just stay safe. And thank you as always for listening. This is Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Martian.
Until next time, remember as always, just go there and do it.
Let's go there and do it.
Do it.